The Mefarshei HaTorah, as they approach the Psukim and Parshas VaYigash, use them to teach us an incredibly important lesson. And that is, as we learn Parshas VaYigash, and we learn how Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers, how Yosef asks them to have Yaakov come to Mitzrayim, the beginning of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, the end of the era of the Shvatim, we look at this as the final reconciliation between Yosef, his brothers, and his father. But the Mefarshim actually teach us that if we study the Psukim and we study the attitudes, we'll see and learn what was really important to Yosef. And of course, I think one of the questions that everybody is troubled with in these parashiyos, all these 22 years that Yosef is separated from his father, we don't see any attempt on Yosef's part to try to connect to his father, who he was so emotionally attached to, who he was certain was so upset about him being separated from his son. And yet, in this week's parasha, we find that with Yosef never having this need, never demonstrating this great need of reconnecting with his father, this week's parashi says, Maru v'alu alavi, quickly go to my father, v'yamatam elav, and tell him, Kayam abincha Yosef, your son Yosef is sending you a message, Samani alakim la'odin l'cham Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me into this very important position in Mitzrayim, Ridoi lai al tamoid, come immediately, don't hesitate, and live in Goshen next to me. And he continues to tell them, please tell over to my father all of the honor that I'm receiving in Mitzrayim, all that you see how who and I am. He repeats this message to his father. What is the Torah trying to teach us? So the Sefer Chalifa Simlas Binyamin says that Yosef's greatest concern, and frankly, Yaakov's greatest concern, were always about the Ruchnius. Where and how will they be in their status of Ruchnius? When Yaakov Avinu declared Chai Ra Achlaso, Torof, Torof Yosef, his concern was not necessarily that Yosef had physically perished. His concern was, Taraf, Taraf Yosef, is my Yosef, is Yosef the Tzaddik still able to be Yosef at Tzaddik? Or, Taraf, Taraf Yosef, is he now in a time and in a place where he can't be on the Madrega of being Yosef at Tzaddik? And when the Pasuk says, Ashurinu b'tzoras nafshoi, b'schanon eloinu v'lo shemanu lov, the Shvatim discuss how they didn't react properly to Yosef. And what did they say? They say that Yosef, b'schanon eloinu, Yosef cried to us v'lo shemanu lov. What was the tefillah of Yosef? The tefillah of Yosef was that I am such danger in Ruchnius. I don't know where I'm going to end up. And I don't know what will be my madrega and ruchnius. Have rachmanis, he was begging his brothers, that I shouldn't be put into situations that I can't withstand. And that's why, he explains, we could understand that Yosef, after all of the tzaris, after all of the issues that he faced, what was the name that he gave to his first child? The name he gave to his first child, Kindeshani Elokim, as Kol Amoli, as Kol Beis Avi. What does that mean? Yosef HaTzadik was concerned. He was living in Mitzrayim, and he was in a very important position. But he didn't want Chas V'Sholem, Kindeshani Elokim, as Kol Amoli, as Kol Beis Avi. I should not forget Beis Avi. I should not forget from where I come. I should not forget who I am and what is expected of the way I should live. And that was what was Yosef's biggest concern. And now, when Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers, what he says to his brothers is, Maru, please quickly bring my father to Mitzrayim. For I am concerned that every moment that I'm here in Mitzrayim, every moment that I have Kol Kvoidi, every moment that I'm living in this power, with this power and this glory, but I'm living in Mitzrayim. Shemani Elokim, Odon L'chol Mitzrayim. And when I'm in this position of being Odon L'chol Mitzrayim, my Ruchnius is at risk. And since in such a time, my Ruchnius is at risk, I daven to you, says Yosef, I daven to you, I need my father, I need my family, who will make sure that as they live, as Torah Jews live, I will live like that. And that will be all, because that is all that I need. And that was the attitude of the Ovis, that was the attitude of Yosef at Tzaddik. We know the famous Rashi, that when Yaakov finally comes to Mitzrayim, and the pasuk says V'yari lo v'yipal atzavar v'yef atzavar of oid, and Rashi says Yosef falls on his father. Yosef is crying, and Yaakov is not crying. Av Yaakov lo nafal atzavar Yosef lo noshka. Rashi says Yaakov didn't embrace him. Yaakov Avinu didn't cry. Shayukare Shema. He was saying Shema, and of course everybody asks, was that the moment that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to say Krishma, where he finally reunites with his son, his beloved son, after all these years? And I saw that the Stipel explains that Yaakov Avinu at that moment came to an incredible level of ahava. The love that he felt that moment of reuniting with his son is a love that cannot be described. And Yaakov Avinu decided to utilize that love for Avodas Hashem. And that's why at that moment he used it for Kriya Shema. Restaipel used to make a very interesting comment. He says, we know that the Gemara in Masechet Brachos says that Chosin Potter Mikriya Shema. That a Chosin doesn't have to say Kriya Shema because a Chosin can't have the proper Kavana when he's preoccupied with his getting married. Says the Stipler, Yaakov Avinu taught us just the opposite. Yaakov Avinu said, though, what is the happiest day of one's life when he's getting married? When is a person, as he's getting married, does no one feels a hava? Nobody feels a sense of love greater than the moment that he gets married. That's the time not to say Potter Mikriya Shema. That's not the time to be exempt from Kriya Shema. That's the time to take the hava that we're feeling and using it for Avodas Hashem. The Chassidish Sfarim tell a story of Reb Aaron Mikalin, who was sitting once on Matzah Shabbos, and the Chassid observed how Reb Aaron's assistant brought him in Friday night, Matzah Shabbos, an apple. Reb Aaron Mikalin took the apple, made a bracha. And the Chassid was observing this entire situation where the Rebbe gets an apple and makes a bracha and eats it. And he thinks to himself, in what way is there a difference between he and I? He gets an apple, he makes a bracha and eat it, and I get a bracha. I make a bracha and eat it. What's the difference? So the Rebbe told him. The Rebbe understood what was happening here. And the Rebbe told him like this. I wake up in the morning, he says, and I look out the window and I see this beautiful tree, this beautiful apple tree full of these beautiful apples. And I think to myself, Marabba Hashecha, Marabba Masecha Hashem, Kulam B'chochma Sisa, Mala Oretz Kinyanecha. I realize what a beautiful world, Hashem, you have created. I realize what it means, what an apple represents. And I therefore have this incredible desire to express those feelings. How am I able to express those feelings? By making a bracha, bari pri eitz. But if I make a bari pri eitz, I have to eat from the apple. You, on the contrary, you see a tree with delicious apples, and you want to eat an apple. So you take an apple to eat. Of course, nobody's going to eat an apple without making a bracha. So in order to eat the apple, you make the bracha. So we both ate an apple and we both made a bracha. But it's totally different. I ate the apple in order to be able to make a bracha. And you made the bracha in order to be able to eat the apple. How do we look at the opportunities that we have in life, the situations that we have in life? Are they opportunities for avodas Hashem? And if they're difficult issues in life, are they also viewed because they're difficult in our avodas Hashem? Is that the prism by which we measure our life's experiences? Or we don't look at them that way? Yaakov and Yosef teach us that a person is supposed to look at life from the prism of Ruchnius, from the prism and the perspective of Avodas Hashem.